Mike Charnas? All right, so we're missing Mike, Andy Hall, Carl Keane, Claire Coles, Elizabeth Moore, Elizabeth Sal, Catherine Narr, Wendy Kahlberg.
Wendy won't be on.
Okay. Anyone I miss? All righty. So the first thing I'd like to do is John Hannigan, who all of you know, asked, and I thought it was a good idea, if he participated in the clinical group conference call. John's a member of the Science Advisory Board, and while his early research was all with animal models in the last years, John has been working more and more with clinical populations, and so I value his comments just as a competent scientist and an investigator, but he also knows lots of the clinical areas as well, so I hope you will all welcome John to participate in these monthly conference calls. And thank you, John.
Thank you. You're welcome.
The first item on the agenda is we seem to have a little discrepancy about the roles various people should play, in that when someone steps up and tries to fill in a gap or tries to help out with something, sometimes their responsibility is mistaken by other members of the group. And this is what's happened with Leela in the part of the dysmorphology core, who now seems to be getting lots of questions related to the dysmorphology database and trying to deal with them. And so this has become an issue in that it's taking up a considerable amount of her time, and I just wanted to remind people that there's an informatics core that should be dealing with most of the issues related to the databases and how they're constructed, how the data has to get up there, and how the data has to come back down to people. So if you can limit your questions to the appropriate people, I think everyone will appreciate it, and it'll make life a little bit easier. Have I stated that fairly, Dr. Jones?
Yeah, you have. Well, you stated part of it. You stated it fairly, but I continue to worry, as I think probably everybody realizes. There are going to be mistakes that are made given the way we do all this. And Leela was identifying a huge number of errors. And if something doesn't change, we are going to continue to have a number of errors. And I think that one major problem with the errors relates to the fact that there is nobody at each of the sites that is putting the data into the central repository. The result is that all kinds of mistakes get made, and these are the things that Leela was picking up. So I think something has to be. I think we need to think seriously about how to deal with that. And I think, you know, initially it was proposed, and I thought agreed on, that everybody, that each of the individual sites would have a data person, a data manager. And that obviously hasn't happened, and everybody has sort of been using Leela as their data manager. And so I would suggest the possibility that everybody kick in a certain amount of money and that we hire somebody who can go through all these data and check them, and then I would propose that individual reports to Leela, and I would propose that we could do this for a relatively small amount of money from each individual site.
Well, let me ask some questions, and anyone can chime in with answers. You say that there are a large number of errors, and are these errors in each of the databases or in the dysmorphology database?
Well, I don't know about the other databases, but everything from date of birth to percentile for palpebral fissure to everything else gets there are mistakes in all aspects of the data that gets...
This is Tatiana. I'm actually going to defend Ken and say that it's actually something I wasn't going to bring up on this call. I was going to ask for a separate call, but I do think there need to be some additional data checks. We've identified some problems as well that I think are causing some issues for us in our analysis. So I'd like I don't know what the solution is, but I would like to say there needs to be more verification of the data, and I would reinforce what Ken just said.
One thing that we actually initially entered a lot of the dysmorphology data, and then Leela found errors, I guess, in our data entry. And so there was actually a move away from having the individual sites do it. But at the same time, one thing we do in the neurobehavioral database, which is very helpful, is that there's a verification that data have to be entered twice. And I don't know how complicated it is, but we've instituted it in the neurobehavioral database, and it's very helpful.
All right. Well,
that means that the data are at least, yes, you can enter the same. If you have the wrong date of birth, you're going to enter it wrong twice. But if it's just a typographical error. But also, at the same time, people at the sites aren't calculating percentiles and things like that.
No, and I will say this very briefly because I just want to say why it's an issue and why I'm bringing it up. So we're finding issues with the percentile being associated with some palpebral fissure length, and that has big implications for whether or not an individual makes the diagnosis of FAS or not.
Right.
And you can imagine why I'm raising the question, because one of the roles we're doing is trying to confirm with the camera that we get the same classification as a dysmorphologist. But if there's the wrong percentile in for a palpebral fissure measurement, we can't match something that's going to get knocked into a wrong category because of a percentile. And that error can occur in a lot of different places. And one thing I'd like to suggest, although I don't really know what I'm suggesting, is that if there are ways to actually, if there's a formula associated with those curves, and I don't know if that's true or not, I'm not cognizant enough, but if there are formulas related to some of the curves we're using percentiles, I think it would be ideal if they could just be calculated within the database rather than someone taking their value, looking at how old the kid is, and sliding their finger up the line and hoping not to miss. It's just, it's too error prone, and it's too important.
You know, one of the things that Leela was, it was so great. I mean, while, you know, when we were told not to continue to enter the data and Leela took it over, one of the great things that happened was that she did have that information. You know, all we were doing was entering the numbers that were on the form. But if the numbers that were on the form were wrong, we couldn't fix that.
But
Leela has that information and is able to do that. And I think that she's really done a great job doing.
Yeah, I'm in no way. I'm actually just reinforcing. I'm not impugning anyone. I just want to stress the fact that I think we need a good way to solve this problem because I think it's really important.
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
If the forms are filled out by the dysmorphologist, right?
Right.
All right, so...
No, generally speaking, they're filled out by a scribe.
All right, but someone's talking to the scribe.
Right.
That's the dysmorphologist is telling what the person to write down, what they should write down.
Right.
Are there mistakes being made in the transcription of what you say?
Well, I don't know how we know that.
No, I'm asking Ken, do you think that that's where the mistakes are being made?
I think some of them are being made there, but I don't think many of them are being made there. No, I don't think
that. Okay. So you think they're being made when people enter the data?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So
it could be when they, because it could also be.
But Leela went back over every form. And
I think it's when they slide their finger up and they get the percentile. I think there's some mistakes there.
I think there are mistakes there, too. But there's no, there's a formula, and you can do it on the computer for certain things like height, weight, head circumference, but you can't do it for palpebral fissure.
All right. Well, who's going and sliding their finger up? The scribe?
I think that's what's being done because we've been trying to, you know, look at the value
but
and look where it goes across and it doesn't
who's
work.
Who's doing that? The scribe?
Well,
Ken?
I don't think so. I think it's Ken.
So Ken is not putting his finger in the right place?
Well, to give Ken some credit, it's
human.
A very
I'm not
it's
supposed
a,
to be Ken's
right.
Problem.
It would be nice if it was automated, and we tried to do that when we had, I mean, when we thought about the tablet
right.
for data collection.
Well, I'm just trying to find out where the greatest source of error is, or where any source of error is. And the transcription part, the only thing I could suggest is that we tape it all, and that way you could go back and verify it.
Oh, my God, that would be right. such a...
That's the only foolproof way I know, unless it has to be repeated twice and repeated back, like Roger Charlie. And I think that would just make for a very uncomfortable dysmorphology session. But so I'm open to suggestions, but if that's a source of error, how would you like to deal with that?
I don't think that is the source of error. At least it isn't in any of ours. Because ours, the dysmorphologist does the graphing of height, weight, and head circumference, and or reads them off so that we feed them into the palm, which has the CDC data charts in them. And we go back over those one more time when we go to case conference, preliminary case conference, and then we do them a second time when we go to final case conference.
Yeah, but by then they're already written down.
Yeah, but if there's an anomaly there, which Ken is implying that there are anomalies somehow winding up later on, they're not entering there because they would have been caught in one of the three processes.
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, I don't know. I think that the system that you have has a lot pulled into it to pick up problems. But I can tell you that there were terrific I don't know whether I shouldn't use the word terrific, but there were problems that arose last week. Sarah, what's the lady that contacted Leela to ask her to help?
Tanya.
But those weren't errors. Well, I don't think those were errors based on a dysmorphology exam.
Well,
and they weren't errors. They weren't actually errors.
They're errors that people are sending to Leela to fix.
Well, maybe I can clarify then, because maybe we're focusing too much on, although Tatiana clearly is identifying a problem. But what Ken is talking about is that in our process of refining our definition of our groups, we have identified variables that are missing from the dysmorphology database. And we, not dysmorphology variables, but the famous three question variables. And so what Tanya unfortunately asked Leela to do was to add these three question variables for cases that for where they were missing. Or in some cases, they were done inaccurately because they were grouping their cases in a different way than everyone else. So that's a different, but that's a different kind of thing I think you're asking.
Well, it is, but it's one of the issues that comes up that Leela gets asked to deal with.
Right, but you know what I mean, and we would. I think that we and you know, once I heard from you, we agreed that we would talk about an alternative way to do that. But because the database, and I think the informatics can talk about this better than me, you know, we can't make the change. We can't make a change to the dysmorphology database.
Yeah, that's right. Leela is the only person who has that in her possession.
And then you know. I know Leela got an email from Sophia Vinci Buher.
She works with us.
On the 6th, about a problem that came up. That
we're trying to, we're just trying to clarify. I mean, that just to be, I mean, maybe it would help to know who to ask. So we're asking about the percentiles on the palpebrofacial length, confirming what chart people are using and all that. If we should go to someone else, then you just need to let us know who we should go to.
I think that's a question for the dysmorphology core, but maybe it needs to go to Ken rather than Leela.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Yes, absolutely. We could go to Ken.
A question about what chart to use should come to me, but not a question about data entry for SMS 1033.
Okay. I know there's both of the scope of the questions she's asking, because when we couldn't line up our paper fissure length, our first question was, is there a chance there are different charts being used? So that's what we've been trying to do right now.
And in regards to that, let's say that she's going through And there's a papyral fissure size that doesn't make sense, or a percentage that doesn't make sense on a particular subject. Who should she go to? You, Leela, or the informatics corps?
You mean it's like the 835th percentile? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, or
well,
it's
in this case, it's
30th
valid,
percentile
it's
when
it's value,
been the 10th.
It doesn't look to be correct.
Well, it could not be correct for a variety of reasons. One would be that it was entered incorrectly. Another be that it was entered correctly and the person who read the percentile read it incorrectly or wrote it down incorrectly.
Right.
And there are a million reasons why.
So,
this.
I guess our only question is who should we ask when a question like that arises? Should we go back to the site? Should we go to you? Who should we go to? Or to? I mean, where should we go? That's all we're asking.
Well, let's discuss it as a group then. I mean, who do you think we should go to about a particular case from a particular site that has been fouled up? I mean, how can I possibly respond appropriately to a question like that?
I think this is Sarah. I think that you could go back to wherever the original form is. And I think the forms live in two places.
Okay.
They live at the site, and they live with the dysmorphology core. So the first thing
they
would be to go.
Informatics? What? Don't they live in the informatics?
No. No. The
no.
form? The actual paper forms?
Oh, the actual paper form, right?
No, the paper forms. And then, but then, so then you, so you could go to the site. So if it was one of our subjects, you would say, call me, and I would look up, look at the actual record and say, was it really 835? And that would eliminate one error, right? But then the question is, then my question is, what if it is an error? Then what do you do? Somebody has to change it. And I don't
that
know.
That would have to be Leela if it's a
that's right now it's Leela. But if it's a question like, Tatiana, if you think that it's a more general question, like what forms are people using, then I think Ken is the appropriate person.
Yes. So what we could do is, so we were just, I mean, literally the whole origin of this, and I certainly don't want to belabor this, is simply we have some non-matches between what the camera does and what the dysmorphologist does. So, of course, you go back and try to understand why. And so, and this is certainly not the only thing, and I'm not trying to suggest it is. It just seems like the first thing that's you want to research are things that could be error. And so we just see some, when we look at the value of a palpebral fissure, it doesn't match the percentile. So we just took our little fingers and we did that, tried to figure out that. And we have a couple cases where we're just trying to clarify, for example, do we always use the left palpebral fissure when looking at the percentile to put it in the algorithm? We can't quite get things to quite match. And so I guess I have a range of questions. So, and foolishly, we tried to go one place. So what it sounds like is if we've got an algorithm implementation, that's, I think, dysmorphology. If we have a question on the actual value on a form, it sounds like we should start with the site that collected that data since they should always have a copy. If we're asking about procedures for actual measurement, that seems like that should go to Ken. Does that seem like the right – and this would be a general statement about anything on the dysmorphology, so I think it relates to everyone. Does that seem like the reasonable plan?
Yeah, that seems reasonable to me, but I don't think that's the major problem.
Okay, well, that's how we got involved. So I'm just trying to make sure I keep my nose clean and go to the right place. So that's sort of the scope of what we're going to have.
All righty. Well, I think that and Bill or anyone in the informatics group, if you have, since you're most familiar with handling data, if you have ways that you think that we could improve the reliability and validity of the data that's in that database that you would suggest to each of the projects, that would be great.
This is Andy. As Sarah mentioned, we use the double entry method for the neuro data. She seems to have been happy with that. I don't know that it's clear that we've really rooted out where the errors are coming from at this point.
Probably not one.
That would only eliminate one type of error. I mean,
yeah.
It only is going to eliminate the data entry error, which is
And from my sort of informal conversations with Leela over time, I think what I've heard from here, this may not be what other people are reacting to, but what I've heard from her is some frustration that From time to time, there are problems in data entry or changes that are coming from the sites, and that means more work for her. She's got to go in and make the changes. And I think maybe she's concerned about why there have been changes asked of her after the fact.
And that's what's happening right now with all the neurobehavioral sites. And so I guess one thing that would be helpful to me is to find out how we're supposed to handle those changes. I mean,
Hi.
The plan was to talk to Leela, but I don't want to. I mean, I've talked to her, so now I need to know what to actually do.
This is Jill. Just from my work as a psychometrist prior, is there a way for the form to be rechecked by someone before it starts being entered, like someone else to look up the tables, a verification at that point?
Well, for the dysmorphology, I think that could be done because, like last month, there were only 4 new dysmorphology subjects added to the database. So it's, in fact, that there was -4. I don't think they're going in at any great rate now. I mean, the month before February, there were 40 put in, and all of those came from San Diego. In March, there were a total of 87. And a lot of those came from, Bill May and the Plains.
You know, I think the one thing is that I think there's 2 different things going on. I mean, I think Leela, when she enters the data, she actually does a lot of this kind of checking. She makes sure that the percentiles are being done correctly. And now I don't know how that relates to what was done before she took it over. But I think that this is a different issue. This is when she's being asked to change things. So, like,
well,
I don't know how many variables we have that we want changed.
Change
but
things like date of birth and gender and...
But the only problem is she's the only one who can change anything in the dysmorphology database.
Right.
Now, Ken, do you want to give that aspect up?
Love to. Well, I'll tell you, she cannot continue to be spending her life doing this. She's got a job that we pay her to do that has absolutely nothing to do, as far as I can tell, with this kind of activity. Now, it's taken all of her time. She's
right,
got a job.
But
so she doesn't get paid. So the dysmorphology corps doesn't have
her.
A person.
It's her.
I see.
But when she's being asked to suddenly change everything.
Well, I think that there may be 2 things here. Is that I think that the 3 questions that Sarah asked to go on there, that there might have been a different way to get those in.
Well, we haven't done. I mean, it hasn't been done. We haven't actually.
And that's something I think the informatics corps should deal with. The changing of the birth date, I think that's going to have to be done either by the informatics corps or by Leela, and Leela would have to give up control of that database then. Because birth date, it's because it was entered wrong, or someone transcribed it wrong, or someone said it wrong. I mean, kids are born on certain days, and if that's not the same birthday for the same subject each time they go in for a test, then...
Well, I actually think I know. That was the South African, and they just had... I don't... And Phil, maybe you can talk about this differently, but there were dates of birth that were obtained differently from different people. So for the same child, they had multiple dates of birth.
Right.
They wanted to make sure they were using the right one.
Right. So we had to go back and check that.
Well, it shouldn't be.
I think it was that they were putting the month first and then the day.
Right.
And then
okay.
In other cases, it was the other way around.
Okay. I'm sorry then.
Well,
so,
we do that in Ukraine too, so we're going to have to be careful.
So, yeah, you have to be careful, and it has to tell you, it should be on the form, whether it's the month or the day it goes first.
I think
so, all right. Well, we're going to have to move on because we're half hour into this. And But
so what should we do with it?
But we've got to come up with a way to deal with this. Because
yeah, so
I think it really impacts the entire integrity of what we're doing. Seriously, it impacts it.
I agree, but I can tell you right now that there's if I took a vote on how many people were going to put in some money to hire a person,
yeah,
I would probably say that there would be very little enthusiasm for that.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe the informatics corps has people available to do that type of thing.
Well,
but,
then that's who should do it.
You know,
my understanding of the issue is Leela's getting data that she then later wants to change, and so she's asking the question of why she's getting data that has to be fixed. And I don't know how that is fixed anywhere but at the point where the data is collected. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Depends why it's occurring.
Yeah. So I have no idea how you want to deal with it. If Leela can't change the if Leela's the only one who can change the dysmorphology database, and there's a problem or a question about the dysmorphology database, it either has to go to Leela or Leela has to give up that control.
And Leela's going to give up that control.
All right. So now if you have changes that you want to make into the dysmorphology database, then you have to go through the informatics core to do that.
So, Ken, can we plan a meeting where Leela and you and informatics core talk about how we'll transition this?
Sure.
So who's going to get our paper records?
Well, who's entering the data into the dysmorphology database?
Right now, Leela does.
Do you want Leela to continue that, Ken?
Well, why does Leela have to get the dysmorphology written record? Is that something that's necessary that you...
How else do you enter the data into the database?
Huh?
How else do the data get entered into the database?
Doesn't each site upload the data into the database?
No, Leela does it.
Leela does it.
You know, Ken, originally there was no real plan, and the sites in the first phase weren't able to do it, and so we did it. And I don't think you were happy with it, or Leela was. Somebody wasn't happy with it, and so we didn't do it anymore. We didn't do it anymore. I mean,
well,
not that I want it back, because it was a lot of it was a lot of work. But that's the history of it.
Right. I would vote that each site send the data to the central repository.
Well, Ken, I think that's what we did, and you hated that idea.
No, they sent it here. They sent it here, and he didn't like it.
It was
I
hated it because the data was not getting in correctly.
Right, and now why do you think the data are going to get in correctly?
I continue to think the data is going to get put in incorrectly, but
then,
I don't think that this...
Then why do you want a PI on a core that's going to have incorrect data?
What?
Why do you want to be involved in a project that you know is going to have incorrect data?
I don't. That's why I think every site, and I can't imagine that every other site wants to be involved in a study that's going to have incorrect data. But I don't have the people here to do the kind of thing that is necessary to get the data into the central repository correctly. It, I think, is the responsibility of the people that collect that particular data to get it into the database and get it in correctly. And if that requires hiring somebody new, then I think that we have to do that.
But I think you could argue that the individual sites don't have the necessary knowledge to know when a percentile has been looked up incorrectly, or that a head circumference is not small, or that a philtrum is not smooth. That's the dysmorphologist's responsibility. I mean, you're the expert.
So
I think you probably could argue that, Sarah. I agree with you, and think that there are all kinds of things that people can argue, which I think are bogus. And
all right. So then, what role does Leela play now in the dysmorphology corps?
She's, you know, I think it needs to be reevaluated, and that's what I'm proposing at this point, that it be reevaluated.
I mean, because you have a
her. To do this, then we are going to have to, If you want her to continue to act and do what she's doing, we are going to have to hire somebody completely new. And I really don't know where I'm going to get the money to do that. But
No, I understand that. But, all right, I was just looking here in that you have a statistician and a data manager on your project. And I'm just trying to figure out, is both of those?
No, she's not both of them.
Okay, so is she the data manager?
Correct.
All right, so, and she, as described, the role of the data manager is to work with the PIs to ensure that data regarding the dysmorphology core uploaded are complete and accurate. I sympathize, but I think we're just going to make the situation worse if we don't have someone who knows, who can communicate with you about problems with the dysmorphology database.
All right.
I mean, I think it's just going to get worse, Ken.
Okay.
I think we tried it, and it didn't work. But
I agree.
So if you could, I mean, I don't think she should be dealing with things the informatics core is doing.
She should be dealing with this kind of thing where people write her and say, we've decided to change how we think about things, and we're going to have to make major changes in the...
No, that should be the informatics core.
I see. All right.
But if there's a wrong birth date, I think that data has to get resolved somewhere, and that hopefully Leela can help resolve it.
I will do it all.
No.
I cannot have Leela doing this. She's got other responsibilities, Ed, and I cannot have her doing it. So if you decide that my operation is going to do all of the data management for all of these people that are sending crap data in to me, then I will do it. But that's the only way that this is going to work out from my perspective. I'm not having Leela spend her life doing all this. So that's
all right. Then I will suggest that each site enters their data into the central repository from the data that's scribed from the dysmorphologist.
Fine.
And hopefully people can type correctly. And if anyone notices errors, they'll go back to the site to make sure that that data has been entered correctly.
If that's going to be the case, and I would endorse Sarah's idea that we do the verification thing. So
that would at least get rid of the data entry errors. But I still think there's going to be the issue with, I mean, I know when we were entering data, we would come across things where one dysmorphologist would say a philtrum of a certain length, and I could be using a bad example, is long, and another dysmorphologist will not say that.
Right.
And we couldn't make that judgment. So we entered it as is.
Right. So send it to me at this point. I'll be happy to deal with it.
Well, Ken, I think you're the only one who can deal with that question.
I will.
Can I make a suggestion? In terms of the 120 variables, data points, rather, that I would like to have changed, can either we do it or the informatics group do it, and then it gets sent back to Leela or whoever's going to enter?
No. It just goes to the informatics core, who can now change the dysmorphology database.
Oh, well, then we can okay. And then from now on, so everyone's going to need to download the dysmorphology entry tool, and I think they're going to need a tutorial on that. So every site who collects dysmorphology data needs to download the data entry tool and then start entering their records and uploading them. Is that what you're saying?
I guess that's the only way to do it.
Okay.
We don't have to redo anything that's already been done.
You don't have to redo anything that's already been done as long as...
Right. I mean, we're talking right now that Ken sees less than 10 subjects a month.
Right.
So at least that's what it's averaging since January. So I think we're going to be okay. It's not going to be a tremendous amount of work for anybody.
Well, it depends on how much work, how much... somebody suddenly says, well, there were 80 cases from 2 years ago, and I'm changing all of the birth dates or something like that.
Well, the informatics core will do that, will be responsible for that. I don't think that's going to happen all that often.
But that changes everything in terms of length, weight, head circumference, and palpebral fissure.
That's why it's good to have a dysmorphologist involved in those changes.
Exactly. So just willy-nilly, 2 years after the fact, you say, oh, I think we're going to change how we think about alcohol exposure or something like that. I mean, it just seems bizarre to me. But that's, if that's the way everybody agrees to do it, send
all right.
stuff to me.
You know what? I'm going to stop the discussion of this now because we have 20 minutes left, and we have to go over some things. And I think what we'll do is, now that everybody has a chance to hear about the problem, is that we will have we'll get a special call together with, and maybe we can get Leela on the phone with us, who can help us devise a system that would be workable, since she probably is more familiar with the types of mistakes that are made than anybody else. And
can I make a, well, okay, never mind.
Help us work out a system, but we can't continue to do it on this phone call. All right, so Sarah, last word.
Yep. No, never mind. I could talk about it with another time.
Save your last word.
I have a great idea, but I'll share it with you later.
All right, you can email it to the group.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I want to go over the data that's been collected in the last month in the Google Docs, since people had some issues they wanted to discuss about a proposed new chart. All right, so Sarah, why don't you give us an update on the neurobehavioral? And everybody has the Google Doc, I hope.
On the neurobehavioral, okay, hold on. We, all sites have collected data this month, and most sites have entered data into the database. We're continuing our trajectory. You usually do this part, Ed. I'm not sure what you want me to say, but it looks like we're increasing at a steady rate across all sites combined. I know that Phil just got back from the Plains and has added data there, which is great. South Africa is going very fast and collecting a lot of data. They're actually almost at their target, which is amazing. And Los Angeles is at their target. Atlanta is somewhat below the target. I think the big thing for the neurobehavior right now is getting data and including demographic data into the database in a timely fashion. And, you know,
I would reiterate that it looks like things are going ahead, although there seems to be a lag in the central repository entry and in the demographics entry. And so I would urge everyone to do that. And also on the charts that I have, or the data that I have, is that if we are serious about doing differential diagnosis between ADHD and low IQ, is that we try to pick up the recruitment in those two areas.
One thing that we talked about on the last call, I think, was the low IQ group and how we were having difficulty recruiting for that group. And we sent it to the Science Advisory Board, and we got two responses. But we still don't really know what to do. I mean, it's still an open question. I mean, I think the alternatives are to divert our attention to the ADHD group, which has more subjects in it, or expand our enrollment of low IQ. John Hannigan had, I'm hopefully not misquoting you, but I think you thought that was a good idea to just expand our IQ group. We had originally excluded specific diagnoses from our low IQ group, but we suggested that one way to increase our low IQ group was to remove that exclusionary criteria.
Okay. Any arguments against removing those exclusionary criteria?
Nope.
All right.
Pretty much think I proposed that to be honest.
Yes, you did. The argument against it would be that we would end up comparing to another specific group.
All right. So let's do that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And We still really need the ADHD group, kids,
yep.
group, particularly from L.A., who's just totally
yeah.
out of balance.
Unfortunately, a lot of our kids that we're getting for are recruiting as ADHD. They're also the ones that are canceling a lot. So,
what?
Been rough for us with ADHD.
Bill, do you think you can get ADHD in New Mexico?
I think so.
That would be helpful.
Mexico is a whole different ball game than what we discussed, though, in January.
Right.
Yeah, I think in New Mexico either we have to concentrate on the FAS group.
But maybe the ADHD group also.
Well, we can do both if things work out, and we can discuss that when we won't bore a lot of people. But none of the roadblocks have been removed that were there in place in January.
Right. And I don't think that's going to happen. So
I don't either, but I think we still need to discuss it. We have alternate means of recruiting, and they're just now gearing up. And now that my two new testers are certified, I think if you just give us the summer, we can make some pretty good progress on both ADHD and FASD.
All righty.
I guess the other thing from the neurobehavioral perspective, and I think the thing that spurred part of the previous discussion was that we've been really working on our grouping strategy and identifying where there were data points that were missing that were needed for our macro, and we've asked the sites to add those, and they've all they have all that information, and they're all adding. Each site doesn't have to add a lot. It adds up to, 100 data points or so total. But that'll help us a lot with the current analyses that we're doing. And then for those of you who don't know, we had our profile paper accepted from the phase one data.
Good for you.
In ACER.
All right. So.
Although they sent me an email that it was going to be in the Journal of Biochemistry. Just so you guys know. In case you're looking for it, it might be there.
Claudiana, how's the imaging coming along?
All right. So am I supposed to review numbers?
Are you talking to Claudia?
Pardon? Hello?
What?
Am I supposed to review data, the numbers or results? I'm sorry.
Well, if you want to tell us any great results you got, that would be fantastic. How's Peter doing?
So, all right. So here's I mean, perhaps why I was asking the question I have. So let me walk you through. So, Sophia, the reason, if Ken's wondering, I think he's met Sophia. So Sophia's the person who's been measuring the images at our place. And Lee and Sophia have done a number of analyses. So let me walk you through what we've done. And this will perhaps explain. What we did is we have compared the dysmorphologist classification. We actually broadened the scope of what we did because we thought we'd better look at one other group. So our original mandate, as you may recall, was to compare the ability of the camera to classify using the traditional criteria versus the dysmorphologist classification. And we originally proposed to only look at those individuals, a group of FAS and a group of controls without alcohol exposure. So when we did that, I mean, there were 83, let me get my numbers all here. We had 83 controls that had been classified by the dysmorphologist, and we got the same classification for 72. So we were thrilled. We have a relatively small number of full-blown FAS that we had to work with. We had 18, and we had 11 that we got the same classification on. And so we were concerned when we saw those numbers, and that was what led to us starting to ask, so why are we getting differences in classification? Hence the questions I'm asking about percentiling. We also thought it would be important then to expand the scope just to be able to ask, so how do we do on deferred? So of the 40 subjects that we had data on that, that we could do with this approach in the U.S., there were 40 that were deferred by the dysmorphologist. We only had the same classification on 15, which means for 25, we put them either into the FAS or into a control classification. So we're a bit struck by that and looking at what makes individuals move in and out. And I know in trying to explore that, whenever we see a difference, and this is where I think, working through how best to look at these data, whenever we see something that, is just off by a little bit, we start to think, well, maybe there's some measurement differences, et cetera. But when we get a really dramatic difference, for example, on filtrum classification or on the percentage we get off the eye measurement, versus what the dysmorphologist is, that can easily swing you into one category or the other. And those are the ones that we're asking questions about. And so the other thing that we did as a backup to this, and Leah can also address this if she wants to, is then we said, well, how do we do in terms of discriminant? Would we do better if we were doing discriminant analysis and trying to separate the groups? And we do get, it's around 80%. Is that about right, Leah? we were looking at last Friday in terms of using discriminant to separate full-blown FAS from controls. Are you in the call, Leah? Am I alone on this call?
For the controls, yes, 80%.
Okay, and then FAS, though, was substantially lower. That was closer to around 50%, wasn't it?
55.
Which is quite a bit lower than we had in our previous paper, and that's why we're starting to dig through what could lead to those differences and why we're asking just some questions. It's not, you know, we can make a mistake, we can get measurement, or we've gone back and looked at those. So we're trying to understand that. So I may not have the glorious story that you're looking for, but I also think this is why we're looking at the data perhaps in a more intensive way than we did previously and why we have more questions than you might have expected from us. So I think if some data were to be different in the dysmorphology core, I think some classifications would be different as well. And that's not going to solve all of it, but it could explain some of these differences. And when they're relatively small groups, changes in classification in a small number of those FAS would probably make a big difference in our rates. That's not really what you wanted to hear, was it?
That's fine. All right.
Is that all right? And then the other thing that I think is really important is there is a visit in Atlanta that's coming up next weekend, is that right, where they're going to see 30 subjects.
Right.
So that's Ken and Leah. So that's going to give another big bolus of data that I think will be really valuable. So we're working with about 141 U.S. images. So adding another 30 is a really substantial increase.
Okay. Have we heard anything from Peter?
I have not. Remember, he had asked us to set up a call after June 1st, and I think there actually is a call set up. But I don't know if you recall, I asked him if he would have something to present in May, and he didn't. But I think we both have a call set up with him in June. Let me double. I'll look for it while we continue on.
The guy who works with him emailed me and said they don't have enough FAS subjects from the U.S. They will eventually from South Africa. But
they do. I mean, we have 18 in the U.S. I mean, we have much more. I'm looking, it's June 1st that we're talking with him, Ed. So we could have him work with the South Africa first.
If you only have 18 FAS kids in the U.S., I guess that makes sense.
Okay. We have much larger. I mean, we have 83 controls. We've got 40 deferreds. But we only have 18 FAS.
All right. The imaging. The question I had about the imaging is that some of these kids must be coming due for their second scans.
Yes.
And yet no one seems to have gotten a second scan.
No, that's true. We should get on that. That will start happening soon.
In San Diego, they start in January, in 2011.
This is Jill. To piggyback on that a little bit, Sarah and I actually reworked a different way to make the charts for those graphs so that it illustrates, and that's the extra JPEG that was attached to the agenda email for today, such that we can actually have what the actual goal dates are for the second scans. So we just made a mock thing for San Diego site showing that in January of 2011 there should be 4 second scans that occur in that month. So the new target line for those graphs will be the actual collected line from the first 12 months of collection or however long it took to get the goal number for those sites. Does that make sense?
Partially.
Pardon?
Partially.
Okay. Well,
we'll work on that and
okay.
Get that through, and then.
But we do want to have something that illustrates who should be collecting second scans at this point.
And Claudia, how is your pilot project going?
Yeah, it's going okay. We're going to measure 4 subjects tomorrow, and 3 subjects in a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
So we're moving pretty well on that.
And how long does it take to analyze those type data?
Well, it depends what kind of answers you want out of it. If you're just looking at the level of waveforms, then it's fairly quick. If you're looking into the source space, into the brain, then maybe it's a week for something like that.
So really next conference call, should we schedule you for a little more time?
Let me say what's going on. Yeah, I could say a little bit about what we're doing on the next conference call.
Well, now I think you're familiar with what you're doing. It's what you're finding.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we'll try to schedule a little more time for that next month because I think it's interesting and we'd like to get you involved and people hear what you're finding.
Okay.
Now, also listed on the email that Bill sent out were the progress that's been made in each of the sites relative to neurobehavioral phase two and the percent of data that's in the central repository. And just to reiterate, getting the data into the central repository, the data really aren't data until people can use them and analyze them. So please get those data uploaded. And finally, in terms of the five questions, Ken, I know I don't think you've had any more luck in getting any more subjects.
Right. Correct.
All righty. So question one still in abeyance. Question two, Sarah?
Let's see. So some of what we talked about earlier is part of this. We've been still, we were finalizing getting everyone into the right groups, making sure individual missing data points were completed. And I've just sent the SPSS file off to a statistician yesterday. So we've making some progress.
So on next month's conference call, do you think you'll be able to tell us if you can come up with a more concise profile than that was that just been accepted?
Well, I hope to be able to tell you something.
Because at RSA, don't you have to do that?
No. At RSA, I think I'm talking about question five.
Okay. All right, question three, Tatiana. I think you answered it.
I just gave you three. I can give it to you again.
No, I think, you know, we're good on that. And the brain imaging, Elizabeth sent out some data to everybody. I think, you know, so they're making progress there. And let's see, Susanna, you're not the one doing that, though, are you?
No, no.
All right. But I think did everybody get those data from Elizabeth?
One
graph. Did everyone get those graphs?
I didn't get anything recently. If
probably a week ago.
That doesn't sound familiar. From Elizabeth?
Yeah, she had some interesting data.
It's only for people I think that are contributing subjects. Is that right, Ed?
I don't know. I didn't
get any. Work.
No, I didn't either, so I assume that's only
okay.
For those.
She's starting to try to correlate various dysmorphic features with various changes in brain. And looking at differences between sites. And so I will ask Elizabeth if it's okay to share that with everybody. I think she kind of just did it because it was looking interesting, at least in some of the measurements. She's in New York right now?
Yes.
All right, but I'll just email her and see if it's okay if I share, and then I'll just send that out to everybody on Monday, all right?
Ed?
Yeah.
We have a paper in press with Developmental Pediatrics that looks at three different populations and a number of the key dysmorphic features.
Well,
can we send you the proofs? Or
yeah, please. That'd be great. And, you know,
because there's some that go well across populations, some that don't.
And then I'm going to be facetious, and I don't know if anyone's seen Sterling Clarence's paper on papilloid fissure line.
Yeah. So. It's all done by two D photographs, so it's almost impossible to compare to either clinical or 3D data.
Yeah, what they published, though, was that the 10th percentile that they've computed from 2,000 images of Canadian people are really at the 40th percentile of the published norms that we're using.
Right, and that's to be expected because the epicanthic folds get in the way of the corners, so they're going to be shorter. And we Gene and Ken Warren and I have worked this over via email, and it's really impossible to compare those with either of the other ways that we're collecting data. And the conclusion is that our figures are really very conservative.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised because is that famous study in the foster care system where they came up with evidence of 1 out of every 100 kids being affected by alcohol was based on a photographic image.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden those photographic, and they used the third centile, the one standard deviation. And that would probably be 40% of the population in Canada. And if I'm making any sense at all.
Right. In other words, they're too liberal.
But that's the photo that they were using for the foster care project. And so it's a little strange, but it's an interesting paper. I'll send it out to everybody.
Well, if you take the cutoffs that Ken and his team of dysmorphologists have been using for years in our studies, they come in, for example, 23 millimeters and 24 millimeters, they come in right at the Hall percentiles of 2 standard deviations below for boys and girls. So when they produce their Canadian charts, and then we compare our cutoff points with those, we're exactly 2 standard deviations below, even on their charts.
All right. Well, I have more confidence in what we're doing now than I have in the past, so.
I think we're doing
good, relative.
The paper did us a service in that regard.
Yeah. Question 5, Sarah.
Okay, we had 2 calls since our last conference call with various combinations of us, but it's me, Ken, Leah, Elizabeth, and Tatiana. And I think we made some good progress. We figured out what our question was, and we proposed a strategy to tackle it, and that was sent out with the agenda. So I don't know if you want me to spend the time talking about it.
No, I think everyone has it in front of them.
Okay, so, and that's what we're doing.
All right, any timeline on that?
We don't have a timeline, and I actually was thinking that that's a good thing to tackle.
All right. Well, the reason that I'm trying to push some of these issues is that I just spent a few days or 2 days with Ken Warren. And Ken asked me if we were going to have significant progress so that they would consider putting in or writing a new RFA to continue CFAS. And I think we're under a little bit of pressure to get things moving along. And I know I keep saying that, but I don't believe that an RFA will come out to continue CFAS unless we have a better idea on a neurobehavioral profile and whether we can show that the camera works or not. And I don't know, Dale, how you feel about that, but that's the reading I was getting.
I haven't discussed that with Ken, I guess that would be something that would be considered before we would do an RFA. But progress is measured in a lot of different ways, and I think this organized effort to get focused on these questions, I think, is the right direction to go in. It's going to take a while to get results, but maybe some preliminary results are going to be, beneficial.
It's Michael. I've been on, and I just would add to that while showing progress on those 2 measures might allow an RFA to be written, I don't think one would be funded unless you could say how you would take the next great step forward with that information, so that while we're struggling to get all of the data in, we should probably begin to think about what the next set of questions would be. It's a little hard to do that because we don't know the answer to the questions that have been posed, but simply doing that, answering those questions, gets us to the end of saying we accomplished our aims or many of our aims from the last renewal, but we need to figure out what the basis for the next renewal would be.
And I think a lot of that rests on what we find.
Correct.
And so, we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place and trying to move forward. And, you know, I think CFAS has been incredibly productive. I think that there have been a number of I mean, we have 40-something publications or whatever, Jill, but I think it's been fairly good. When you look at this versus PASS, for example, I think that, you know, we're getting our data out there. A lot of it may be from the basic science projects or a little project here or there, and I don't think we're meeting the goals of the multidisciplinary, multi-site nature as well as we need to satisfy the goals that the NIAAA laid out in the original RFA or the second one as well. And so I think that's why I keep pushing. I'm sorry if I sometimes lose my patience, but I would really like to see this succeed, and I'd like to see another iteration of CFAS come out, and I'd like to see someone else take it over. So, let's see what we can put out in the next few months and go from there. Dale, you have any comments that you'd like to add about the whole thing? You know, or any part of it?
Was that to Bill?
That's to Dale or Bill.
Oh, well, I think I've said my piece. Like I said, I think the five questions are a good way to get people focused on that multidisciplinary way of thinking, which is, I think, going to be, what can come out of that, I think, can be very, very supportive for moving forward. Anyway, Bill, any thoughts?
I don't really have anything else to add.
Michael, you have any other comments?
I guess sometime in the next month, Sarah and Elizabeth and I should get together to just talk about what we're going to be able to put together for the CFAS symposium at RSA. I know that they're still developing data, but we should begin to think about that.
All righty. And John Hannigan, any comments?
Yes.
Any comments?
No, I do think you want to be reminded to follow up on the error resolution on data entry. You know, I think it's probably less errors than I had the sense that the more the discussion went, and more an issue of personnel time management. I think you're all pretty sensitive that errors do come in, but you all seem to be talking about picking them up and recognizing them. So I'm guessing the problem is less errors and more on time management.
Well, yeah, I think that the errors are certainly resolvable and doable and fixable, and we can probably devise a system to even minimize them. I think that a lot of it has to do with trying to change these overall questions. And I think that if we sit down with the Informatics Corps and Leela, we will soon develop a way that Leela's time gets reserved for the project that she's being paid for and stops dealing with these other questions. So I think it's all resolvable. And when Jill is out of the office, but when she comes back, we'll set up a conference call and deal with it and hopefully get everybody on board about how it should be done without creating more mistakes. So,
can I ask Ken a question?
Sure.
In that meeting, would it be useful if Ken, you, and one or more of your dysmorphologists were in the room and you had access to paper copies or other data on a case-by-case basis?
You mean to compare the paper copy to what went in?
Yeah, and see what the recall is of actually examining the kid and looking at some of the other dysmorphic features to see if, in fact, they are errors or actually variants in the disorder.
Yeah, sure, that might help, Bill.
I think that would be the truest way to do it.
All righty, everybody. Well, we went a little over today, but thank you. Any other comments from anybody?
Hold on. Progress reports are due June 1st. Tatiana, July 1st. Send me a copy of your complete progress report.
Jill, how's my progress report? You got everything in line for me?
It's going to be beautiful.
Tuesday, right?
Wednesday.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty. Any other comments? Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
Okay.
Oh, I'm staying on, Phil. Come on.